When is the last time you remember an Easter Sunday morning when the sunlight is gleaming in like this? It's the 20th of April and it's Easter Sunday. And as Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be with you," as this gathering of the beloved community comes together today. Jesus also speaks words to us on this Easter Sunday 2025 of all different kinds of love and grace as we offer a joyous welcome to those gathered in person and those who join us online. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, our production engineer, and special musicians, which include our bell choir, our sanctuary choir, trumpeter Jamie Keller, and two who will offer an instrumental duet at the close of the service, Barb Fuller and Deanne McCormick. Our liturgist today is Pastor Rachel Garris. Our moderator, Tom Hacker, comes now for a very important announcement.
In accordance with statutes of the state of Michigan and the Mayflower Congregational Church bylaws, I hereby announce a special congregational meeting to be held on Sunday, May 4th at noon. It will follow a presentation by the Luton School Parent Teacher Student Association President, Alice Brinkman. Purpose of the meeting will be for the following items. One, an update on the status of the building project in the back. A vote on cost of living pay increases for our salaried employees. And three, approval of the ordination request by Marjorie Briggs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. For anyone new or visitors this morning, please read the worship protocol and mission statement you will find in your bulletin. And a reminder that we do not pass offering plates, recognizing that all of your presence today, your presence, is a gift to us and to God. If anyone desires to give a financial offering today, there are receptacles at each end of the sanctuary. Entrance, I should say. Thank you for your continued caring and sharing. There will be no gathering in the Friendship Center today, and there's maybe just a little sadness with that, but I want to encourage everybody, if you just want to hang out here for a while or hang out in the parking lot. And by the way, for those of you who have been here before, we will have a return visit by a very special guest out in the parking lot. Some of you know what that is, so you can be thinking about that. And for the next 2 weeks following the worship service in the Friendship Center, we will host neighborhood guests who are very important part of our ministry to this neighborhood. Next week, Vicki Nichols, the director of Southside Lansing Ministries, will be with us. She's the one that receives, along with all of her volunteers, the wonderful continuing gifts of food and other items that are placed in that blue box in the Friendship Center. We want to thank you for that, and she will do so as she comes to share with us. And then the following week, as Tom mentioned, Alice Brinkman, the president of the Luton School PTSA right across the street, will share with us in the Friendship Center just before our congregational meeting. Today's worship theme is Through a Different Lens. As we examine different lenses of those who came to the empty tomb on that first Easter Sunday and compare them with our own lens and perspective, let us now worship God.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayflower. And happy Easter. While every Sunday is special and unique, Easter Sunday holds a singular place in our hearts as a celebration of a cornerstone to our faith. During this service, we will share the ongoing story of a transformation that is revealed in the resurrection, echoed in changed lives, felt in the warming of our hearts, and demonstrated in nature. Have you seen the magnolia tree near the parking lot? We invite all of you to participate in the drama of this day as we seek the transcendence of the divine, regardless of our diverse backgrounds, traditions, and experiences. Thanks for coming as we share the story and contemplate the mystery through joyous music and thoughtful reflection as we sing, pray, listen, and celebrate. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our resurrected Lord, we gather this Easter morning, our hearts filled with joy and hope with all that has been made possible through the resurrection. We celebrate this day of new life with the promise that love will triumph over death and light will overcome the darkness. As we celebrate all we know about a singular event, we pray that you would inspire us to share in the ongoing work of our faith. In all of the celebration of this day, grant us the courage and resolve to be agents of change, dismantling the structures of inequality and building a world where every person feels seen, loved, and valued. May the declarations we make in this service of celebration translate to actions where we become the hands and feet of Christ, bringing hope, healing, and justice to those who need it most. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
As we come to the time in worship when we offer ourselves to God, including our resources, we are reminded of the gift of new life and the ability God gives to all of us to look beyond the limitations of our finite minds as we see our radiant and resurrected Lord. May the spirit of hope germinated at that first Easter give us the grace and stir our motivation to give with gratitude, love with abandon, and live with joy as we now offer the gifts of our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves to God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God of life and liberation, on this Easter morning we gather as people of resurrection hope. We give thanks for the stone rolled away, for the triumph of love over fear, and for the promise that death is not the end. Risen Christ, we ask you to walk with us into the places of despair, into war-torn lands, neglected neighborhoods, and hearts weighed down by grief and injustice. Let your rising be the rising of all creation. Spirit of new beginnings, breathe through our doubts. Open our eyes to resurrection in unexpected places, in the courage of protesters, in the quiet work of healers, and in the laughter of children. May we become resurrection people, carriers of compassion, seekers of justice, and builders of beloved community. With hope in our hearts and purpose in our hands, we rise with Christ again, even now as we remember those close to our hearts. We lift you in prayer by the mention of first names just now. We now join our hearts together as we pray as our Lord has taught, like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. All four Gospels tell the story of the resurrection. John gives us the most detailed account, sharing the reactions of several different characters, all with their own lens. Which of these can you most identify with? Hear now these words. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she went bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, bless now these words humbly offered. Amen. In one sense, with the music we have already enjoyed this morning, and with the beloved community gathered, beautifully so, to celebrate the foundational truth of our gospel, there is a part of me, as a preacher, that says there would not be much to add to this Easter celebration. I did a little calculating this week, and I came up with a number here, and that is the cumulative number of Easter sermons all of you have heard in your lifetimes together. That cumulative number would total about 3,000 sermons that all of you together have heard. So, if you've heard that many sermons on Easter Sunday morning, would you just simply like to call it good and head home? That is a dangerous question to ask. I'm sure there are some here, particularly younger folks, that might agree with that. Maybe all of us. Or would you like to hear one more? Unless you want to embarrass yourself, you don't have much choice, folks. Easter and Christmas are the two religious holidays most ingrained into our culture. And you know how I like trivia, so indulge me a little bit here, folks. Do you know how much Americans will likely spend on Easter this year? How about, you ready for this? $23.6 billion. A staggering figure and close to a record figure in spite of all the economic uncertainty. You want to know what the biggest item is that is purchased at Easter? Candy is correct. And I really blew it this morning because I have some candy that I bought. We looked for it all week. And so I thought I'm going to take one more shot at it. Last night at 10 o'clock, I drove my car down to the Kroger store. And sure enough, way back behind in a shelf way down low, I found 3 bags of Jelly Bellies. Dan was a little skeptical when I came back, like, who's going to eat those Jelly Bellies? Well, the candy is followed, for what it's worth, by food of all different types, including food that's eaten out, some of you will do today. Gifts, Easter gifts, cards, and clothing. The Federation of Retailers tells us, the International, or the that federation notes that during times of uncertainty, holidays such as Easter are especially meaningful to Americans. Easter, for all of us, and perhaps for most people, represents a hope, a yearning for something beyond the surly bonds of the mundane, the promise and reality of new life, the yearning for an eternal destiny, and a reason to believe that death is not the end and that joy will come in the morning, even tomorrow morning. On the liturgical calendar, the Monday after Easter is called Low Monday. I guess preachers feel kind of low if they're hanging around, or they'll just simply get out of town, which I will do a little bit later this week. But it's not because I'll be feeling low. I've had this joy this morning to look out on such a beautiful gathering of Easter people. Well, we all bring our lenses of experiences, whether it's listening to sermons or music or buying candy at the store. We all bring our perspective in the most glorious and hopeful of holidays, Easter. And all of these lenses are important, yours and mine. As you know, two people can look at the same thing and see something quite different. Deanne and I, as a married couple, and all of you who are married or have been married, know that there are oftentimes disagreements, and one disagreement that happens quite frequently with us is color. I will look at something and tell her what color it is. And then she'll look at me and shake her head and says, no, that's not it. And it particularly happens with the shades of green and blue and gray and beige, for whatever it's worth. I always think I'm right, as all the painting I've done. But we both accuse each other of being colorblind, and I needed a reassurance from my wife if I spoke this morning that it's all in good fun, of course. People do see things differently, react to things differently, experience things differently, and indeed interpret things differently, including scriptural accounts. And since Easter brings with it a hope that transcends death, I began with a very personal story. It happened about 4 years ago. It was on a Sunday morning while I was on my way to Mayflower. I received a telephone call from my mom, very unusual because she knew what my Sunday morning schedule almost always was. And the first question she asked me was if I was alone. And it just so happened on a very unusual day that I was alone, as Deanne and I drove separately that day. I knew then that this was something serious. She wanted to talk. I was insanely curious, and she got right to the point. And here's what she said: "Do you believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ?" Totally out of the blue. I had no idea where she was going with this. except to know that she often tuned in here at Mayflower to my sermons, and I thought she was going to be critical of something I said. Well, keep in mind that my mom, like many people I know, had a rather black and white approach to theology. For her, it was typically love or hate, judgment or mercy, heaven or hell, reward or punishment, saved or lost. There simply wasn't much in between for mom, and in some ways that was good. This is the way she was trained to think. So I thought, how am I going to respond to this? Do I believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ? Then it hit me. She was considering asking me to do her memorial service. My premonitions turned out to be correct, but only later. Without letting her know what I suspected, I needed to answer that question. Well, Mom, first of all, I wasn't there at the resurrection. She thought about that. Secondly, I said, Mom, neither was anyone else. Okay? I said, thirdly, Mom, I'm not a scientist. I can't explain something like a bodily resurrection, what that means to my own satisfaction or anyone else's. It's a matter of faith. Mom, I look out my window every spring and see what has been dead come alive quite gloriously, as we saw this morning when we drove to church. The grass turns green, the flowers pop up, the daffodils bloom. Someone sent me a beautiful picture just this morning of daffodils blooming with a little plaque that was dedicated to her husband, whose funeral I held just a couple of years ago. The leaves burst through the tiny buds. Even after I trimmed the hydrangeas in early March, much farther than my neighbors think I should, they too explode into beautiful white snowballs a little bit later in the spring. Now, when it comes to trimming bushes, my neighbors call me the lumberjack. But those flowers soon become the envy of the neighborhood, and that's one of the things I'm just proud of, because my wife is the gardener. I've had to prove to her that trimming those hydrangeas down so they won't grow higher than the windows is actually a good idea. That's about the only one contribution I've made to the flower garden in front of our house. So I said, Mom, if you're asking whether I believe in the resurrection, the answer is yes, I believe in the resurrection. Good, she responded. Would you be able to do my memorial service? And I did. A few months later, I said, Mom, I would be incredibly honored. Thanks a lot, she said. I better let you go now because you've got a sermon to preach. When I got off the phone, I was already in the parking lot, but it took a few minutes to get out of the car and walk in because I was weeping, thinking of the day when she would die, when I wept again. To Mom's credit, I think she might have looked through a different lens following our conversation. Indeed, there were some lenses that I looked through that were a result of my mom's wonderful faith that she had, not only in the resurrection, but in all of life that she shared with her effervescent personality. The lens through which we view Easter has gone through much change. We've had a lot of time to think about it over 2,000 years. Arguably, Easter Sunday is the holiest and most exalted Sunday of all as we pull out all the stops with the trumpets, so beautifully done, Jamie. The bells, again, beautifully done. The choir, the congregation. And hang on, folks, there's more to come. Let me be crystal clear on this Easter Sunday. We boldly proclaim that Christ is risen. A festive proclamation of good news, along with the millions around the world who do the same thing. In Christ, God has overcome the powers of sin and death, freeing us to live in the hope and promise of life, not just after death, but a full and abundant life which flows from the hope we celebrate today, Hallelujah. However, the first Easter looked amazingly different than the ones we celebrate now. So let's first look at the lens of the writers, who each had different takes and perspectives. In the opening verse of today's narrative, John tells us that it was dark when Mary arrived at the tomb. The Gospel of Mark says that it was just after sunrise. John tells us that Mary Magdalene was the only woman at the tomb, as we heard this morning. Matthew, Mark, and Luke suggest that there were multiple women there. Matthew states that Jesus appears to the women on the way to tell the disciples, while John states Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene after she reports to Peter and the beloved disciple. In Matthew, an earthquake occurs, and an angel rolls away the stone, while in Mark, the stone is already rolled away, and a young man in dazzling raiment is seated inside. Although there are reasonable attempts to harmonize these accounts, the stories are not as clean-cut and sanitized as we have tried to make them. Let's take a look at the lens of emotion. Mark tells us that those arrived at the tomb were gripped with terror and amazement and were afraid to tell anyone what they had seen. Matthew recounts that when the guards of the tomb saw an angel, they shook with fear. He also reports that after the angel told the women to go tell the disciples, the women left the tomb with both fear and joy. Luke mentions that the women were perplexed when they did not find the body. Later, when they encountered two men in dazzling clothes, presumably angels, they were terrified. In today's narrative from John's Gospel, Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb. You heard it. She was weeping when she realized the body of her beloved teacher and Lord was missing. And one of the more curious elements in John's Gospel is that Mary Magdalene, a most faithful disciple of Jesus who was not given the title of disciple, probably because she was a woman, yet among his most faithful, did not recognize Jesus when he was standing right in front of her. Luke's gospel echoes this too in his account when he tells the story of two disciples who were on a 7-mile walk on Easter evening when Jesus joined them for several miles. We are puzzled when the narrative tells us that they did not recognize him. For anyone who's an attorney this morning, that kind of an argument would not stand up in court if you were called to testify or to prove the resurrection. We are not here today to verify all the events of the resurrection. The scriptures simply do not allow us to do that. From some pulpits today, there will be grand attempts to prove the resurrection. I'll ask you today, what proof do you need? I want to face a stark reality. Easter will not change my appointment tomorrow with someone in our beloved community who faces exploratory surgery at McLaren Hospital with the accompanying angst about what they will find. Easter will not change the sadness of the Merrill Congregational Church, their shock when their disabled pastor, a loving man who I know, Rich Gossett, took a terrible fall this week as in a hospital somewhere facing risky surgery to be done on a disabled man. Several of us have been trying to find out what hospital he's in. If anybody can help me, let me know. I'd like to go see him. There were several attempts to find someone to preach at Merrill today on Easter, and I don't know what that congregation is facing. Easter will not change the ordeals of old age or the pain many feel because of the recent death of a loved one. I spoke to one of you yesterday about a loss in your life that took place on Friday. When I say you, that person is not here because of the grief and sorrow that's felt at her loss. Easter will not change the natural worry and concern for my wife's beloved son, my stepson who is hoping for a double lung transplant to happen soon. Easter will not change the length of our prayer list on the e-notes. Today's Easter service may not change the doubt, the fear, the uncertainties we all face when Monday happens. But if not, what will it change? I think of Mary Magdalene and what changed for her. It was the moment of recognition. Woman, why are you weeping? "Whom are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener until Jesus mentioned her name and he said, "Mary." She responded with profound recognition, "Rabboni, teacher." So I asked the question, who are the gardeners in our life who have spoken words, who represents the words and actions of Christ? Yesterday, our mail lady came by, a big smile on her face as she pulled the lever down, put the mail in, and waved and said, "Happy Easter." The young man at the McDonald's drive-up window who noticed the ashes on our foreheads following an Ash Wednesday service. And he said, "Oh my, I wanted to go to an Ash Wednesday service tonight, but I had to work. That is so cool," he said. The beautiful sales lady at the Toyota dealership who sold me my car last August. When we were in there for an appointment this week with my wife, she poured her life out to Deanne after an oil change and talked about her desire to recover her faith. And asked, "Where was our church?" So you can look for her and many others in the coming weeks. By the way, we poured out our lives to her, too. Maybe it was the voice of someone who greeted you when you walked in this morning with a smile on their face and a bulletin in their hand and simply said, "It's great to see you." Maybe it was a reunion you've had when you came back from Florida or somewhere else, and you came back to within the beloved community, at least in the gathered sense this morning. How about the folks that are almost always here in the beloved community with faithfulness inspires? The candlelighter whose cheerful and radiant spirit of help and encouragement fills the Sunday morning lobby that I hear every single week. Or the folks who speak with boundless optimism, sometimes annoying, but who refuse to face face facts of reality, yet we secretly cheer for them as we draw strength from our own faith journeys, from their unwavering trust that God works good even out of a crucifixion. Or what about these Easter lilies decorating the front of our sanctuary, placed in memory and honor and love for so many people represented by many of you? These are just gorgeous and so symbolic of all we believe and hope for that it may motivate us right now to spend about 15 seconds of silence to remember all the people and others who've been remembered by these beautiful Easter lilies this morning. Let's pause a moment of remembrance. And now I say to you once again, Happy Easter, Mayflower. Christ is risen. Amen. Thank you. be seated. A little different order here at the end of the service. There'll be a postlude on the piano and organ to follow, and we will make an exception about clapping at the end of this, at the end of our service, if you feel so inclined. I probably will lead the charge today, folks. In benediction, I just want to say as a pastor, what a joy it is every Sunday, but especially on Easter Sunday when family ties are strengthened, when the weather has been so perfect today, when the music has been glorious as it almost always is on Easter, may this joy be yours always and forevermore. The peace of Christ be with you. Amen. I got a lot of flack when I requested that. It was about 3 months ago, and they said, we don't have enough time to prepare it. But I want to tell you, they did. And Barb and Deanne, that was absolutely beautiful. Some of you may, probably not, but remember, that was my request when I had my installation service here almost 8 years ago. So that one's a favorite of mine. So I am richly blessed, and I know you were too. Well, what I'd really like to do is to spend 10 minutes with each one of you today. That just simply isn't going to work. But I will tell you, our visitor is waiting. You can spend all the time you want here in the sanctuary to greet one another. And the sounds of a little baby here, sweet sounds. Oh, Swayze, there she is. Yeah. It was my privilege on the last Sunday in October last year to baptize that precious little child. So, April, thanks for bringing her. And we have teenagers in our service. And Ethan, I can tell you this, it's really nice to have a wife that looks just like your kids. A lot of connections here, folks. Enjoy it when you can. Keep it in your hearts. If there's any need that you or anything you want to communicate with me, find a way to do that through the church office or my own cell phone. What a joy it is for me as a pastor to welcome all of you on Easter Sunday and every Sunday whenever you can be here. Thanks be to God. Go in peace.